Hello and welcome to Fantasy Talks Live, the podcast that came out of the Jose's Amazing World's YouTube channel. Original video recordings of all the episodes in the podcast can be found at Jose's Amazing World's in YouTube. Listeners beware, as plot spoilers can be discussed in any of the episodes in the podcast. And now, without further delay, enjoy the show.
Are we okay? In theory, we are live. So if anyone is watching, hello everyone. And we're here with Ian to discuss our journey through the Wheel of Time. All 14 painful books of it. I don't know how the conversation is going to go. Usually, Ian, we end up ranting and going off on tangents, but we'll see what happens. So why don't you tell me like a first your overall impression, whether you rank it 1 out of 5, 1 out of, whatever your ranking system is.
Okay, so the first three books, I didn't have a huge problem with. I love book two. Book two is probably my favorite. I gave it 5 stars. Book three was okay, or book one was a good start. After that, up until Brandon Sanderson took over, I did not enjoy those middle books. And when I was watching your video, you kind of said it kind of ended just kind of, the ending was very, like you said, a lot of stuff was kind of left unwrapped. I kind of felt that as well. Like a lot of the characters kind of like, okay, so this is how this is going to wrap up. So the last two books, I actually did give 3 stars. So I enjoyed it enough where, you know, I didn't feel like it was every time, because, you know, we do them a month a book. And every time I'd look over at it, I'd be like, God darn it, I got to get at least a few chapters in. For books, 13 and 14, I didn't feel that as much. I was like, okay, you just got to power through and you're going to get it done. And you're kind of seeing it all wrap up. You can kind of see that end in sight. So that kind of pushed me through. And I'm same with you. Like it was just pretty anticlimactic, in my opinion as well. Like it was just kind of like, okay, like that last battle scene was what it was, like half the book or something, which is great, but it just felt like it felt too long a little bit, I guess. I'm not sure how to put that. This series, for me, I think I would have joined if it was 5 books. If he somehow, I think he could have been able to put this all in 5 books. He did not need the whole desert sequence, I get, was somewhat important to the character of Rand. I just didn't like, it was so long. He spent so much time. I don't remember where it was called, the waste, that he just like, yeah. It was like it was a long time. So if he would have condensed this into a 5-book series, I think it'd been fine. Like, wasn't the original plan was going to be a trilogy, but he just kind of wanted to play in that world. I thought it was supposed to be like a trilogy or something, and then he kind of opened it up more. But yeah, I would say it was just way too long. This are all my opinions, obviously, because I know this book series has a big fandom, and I don't want to offend them, but it's not for me. And you know,
So very quickly, so like you do star rating system in your reviews. So yes. Out of 5 stars, what's your for the whole series? What's your?
I would say 2. I didn't enjoy it. Like the first 3 books were fine, and then the last 2 were okay. That's just not enough. 2 stars. And then, like I said, if he condensed into 5 books, it could be a 4-star, 3-star, just because it just was so long. How about you? Like, what?
Yeah, okay. I did not enjoy it. Sanderson does a decent job of ending the series. I think he probably worked with what he had, and he did what he could. Overall, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I wouldn't recommend books. I didn't enjoy it. It would be, a 2 out of 5. It would have been possibly a 1 out of 5. My main issue you've talked about the length, and it's so true. It's just way too long. I think even the biggest hardcore fan will agree that it's just too long. But is the shift in what it wants to be? Because the first three books start as a fairly generic fantasy, you know, chosen one, small village person gets taken out to go and face the Dark One and fulfill his destiny and all that. Very generic. And then we have the quest for the items with the Great Hunt, I think book two, whatever. And then this is people talking for seven books on the trot and talking about nothing relevant to anything, really. Nothing gets achieved in the middle seven books of the series, I think. And the characters are weak.
Yeah, I will say, yeah.
Because, I mean, I know you didn't really write it that much, but you read, I think you read the first trilogy by Robin Hobb, the Farseer trilogy, right?
I read the first book. I haven't gotten back to the, I haven't gone back yet, but yeah.
But you cannot like it, you cannot enjoy it, but I'm sure you can appreciate that the character work that she does.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to care for these characters in order to really want to continue reading. But here, there is no time spent in introducing us to the characters, giving us their motivations, getting us to care about them. The whole first three books with, what's the kid that gets the dagger and is being consumed by evil?
Matt.
Yeah. Did you care that Matt nearly died in the first three books?
Not really. I mean, he did end up being one of my more favorite. Like, that and Perrin. Perrin completely... I hated Perrin by the end of the book. Like, I liked Perrin. It was like a complete switch. I didn't like Matt the first, you know, half of this series. And I ended up kind of caring for him more at the end. Perrin took the complete out. I liked Perrin. I liked what he did with the Two Rivers stuff. And then he kind of took, like, all this Wolf Dream stuff like that. I didn't enjoy the dream sequences, stuff like that. But I see, like, what you're saying about characters. Like, he would go off on these tangents about this guard that was guarding somebody, his name and his kind of backstory. He's like, and he's not even relevant to the story. Did you catch that? Like, I don't care about this one character that is only going to show up for, you know, two pages. Like, that's not moving the story forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And all the sections or all the chapters which are from the point of view of the evil, forsaken people, how pointless were they, the whole machinations and the infighting between them? It brings them down as a credible antagonist, as a fearful enemy, because they're just like petty squabblings. And again, they don't move the plot forward at all.
And that was like, I would just be hitting myself in the head with the book. Like, can we please move on? Let's just do this. Are you looking at these comments over here? I don't know how to.
I'm tempted to like post them for there, but no, it's all right. I'm all right. Thanks.
Or I don't know. I don't know if you can delete them. I don't know. Cause I don't know.
I don't know if I can. I'll try.
I don't know.
I can block the user. There you go. That's it.
There you go. That's fun. But one of the main issues I had with this book, besides the length, the villains. The villains were so dull. I didn't feel you have to have a good antagonist to, you know, go up against your protagonist. And they were just dumb. The only one was Demodred, and the very last... By the way, this is going to be like spoiler stuff, so if anyone has not read this, but it's a lot of spoiler stuff. Demodred, is that his name? Demodred or whatever?
Yeah.
He was the only one where, like, okay, this guy's like a badass. Like, he killed Gawain, and then he killed, was it Rorik? I can't remember.
You're right, but hold on. You're right, but they do that at the very end in the last book, these antagonists don't do anything in 13 books.
I totally agree. But he was the only one that was actually messing, was fucking shit up at the very end. Granted, it was at the very end, but he was the only one. The final bad guy was Moradin.
What
the heck was, I don't understand. Did he even, he just fought Rand, and that was it's just, and then I saw your rant on Pad and Fane is absolutely what a tease. I thought that was going to be the big bad, that's what they introduced him as in the first books. And then he just kind of disappears. He'll show up every once in a while, come back. And another one that pissed me off was that badass Myrdral. It was that guy. It was one of the smart Myrdral who just kind of and I was trying to find, he disappears.
At the end.
I don't know what happened to him.
He was meant to be someone important, right? Even the Forsaken were scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, literally, he disappears.
Okay, so it's not just me, because I was trying to find, on Wikipedia, what happened to this guy? Did I miss something? Apparently, he gets killed off-screen, but apparently they talked about it, and I was like, I don't remember this. I don't know. When Sanderson took over, Sanderson's, I don't know if you've read any of his other books. He's all right. A lot of people like his stuff. It's okay to me. I like Mistborn. And I just expected, you're right. Maybe he was just handed this mess that, he inherited. And it was just, everyone was just all over the place. And he at least tried to bring everything together. He did fine, but just the payoffs just weren't there. And then you need to have a good villain. And I don't think this did it.
No, do you reckon? My impression is there's kind of, broadly speaking, two types of writers. There are the ones that plan out the story, and they know where they're starting, where they're going, and how they're going to get there. And they just fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the discovery writers who have an idea and see where that goes. And I got a feeling that this book series was a bit of a discovery journey for Robert Jordan. Let's see where this goes. In this book, I'm going to go to the Aiel Waste and spend 500 pages writing about that. And in this other book, I'm going to try to build up political intrigue, and actually didn't succeed at any of the different themes or ideas or stuff that he tried to do in the series.
Yeah, and that's where you get those issues, I'll just see where it goes. That's not really, I do like those guidelines that people set where here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. That's what makes, at least you know where the story is, and then you can always have that end goal. And in between, you can kind of veer off, but as long as you still have a plan, these characters need to be here at the very end, this is where I want them to show up. You can kind of play within those guidelines, but he definitely discovery. He just kind of, I don't know what, did he just, I don't, maybe, I don't, he just loved it so much, and he just wanted to play in this world, and he thought, it's obvious, it's got a huge fan base, so obviously people enjoyed going on this journey with him.
Maybe it's a case of mass hysteria, because these characters, right, Matt spends the whole series telling the reader how much he doesn't want to do any of the things that he ends up doing. And the only motivation that these characters have is this Deus Ex Machina Tavern thing that keeps on pulling them to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, when they don't want to do any of that. Matt doesn't want to go on the adventure and be the general of the armies. The horrendous girl, the real likable one,
Nynaeve
really dislikes the Aes Sedai, hates them all, but ends up becoming one and a really powerful one. So it's what motivates these characters to really do things they don't want to do? And it doesn't get explored, doesn't get justified.
Yeah, I did know, like, I really don't have an answer for that. I think it's just people say character development. It's not the best, like, in my, like, I don't think it's the best character, but that's what it's going to come down to, is like the characters just changed with the, as they got older and they decided, that's my best guess. But yeah, I know what you're saying, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
But forget about not even the best. It's not even good. It's not even acceptable, is it?
Yeah.
It's not even a name. Because
it fits the narrative, I guess, of the series. Like, he needed Nynaeve to accept the Aes Sedai, and he, like, that just might be it. Like, he just, yeah, that's the miss. Like, yeah,
motivation not needed. They're just gonna do this, and
yeah,
and that's it. Yeah, maybe. I mean, 80 million books sold, and now turn into a TV show. But I honestly do not get it. I really don't. I would have rather, 14 books, I rather would have read 4 trilogies from 3 different authors, and I probably would have got much more enjoyment out of that.
Yeah. But now, at least you can say that you have read it, it's under your belt, and
Yeah, it's the proverbial notch in the bedpost, but not one I'm particularly proud of.
No, but it's there, right?
It's because we've talked about like character motivations and stuff. And then these characters are completely superpowered, right? All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like Matt. There's no hint. There's no indication. Matt is just a farmer.
He's just lucky.
He's just a village boy. He's a farmer, right?
Yeah.
And then in whatever book it is, he's defeating 2 fully trained soldiers simultaneously. Why?
Yeah, I thought that was. I think it was Gawain and Galad, I believe, and they were like the best warriors in. What I don't remember what this land's called, but they're the best warriors, and he beats them with a stick, I believe, and I believe they had like swords.
Yeah, and he's just come out of this near death experience.
And I thought, like, I chalked it up to maybe that knife thing he had gave him some sort of abilities, but it didn't turn out. It was just a narrative choice that Jordan made. Like, he's gonna be good at it. Sword fighting, I guess, now.
Yeah, but like nothing feels earned in these characters.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
They don't need motivations, and everything is given to them to succeed. There is no, I don't know. I keep going back to Campbell's, the hero's journey, where hero starts off, gets some training, has a setback, comes back stronger, defeats evil, right? That's like the Rocky movies are just that all the time. So, but here, there's absolutely none of that.
It's just. I'm trying to think of like a character. Like, Rand, I thought Rand sort of had that, but not to the point. Yeah, like, I see what you're saying. Was it Egwene who became, it was Nynaeve who became the actual Aes Sedai, but I thought Egwene become one?
Becomes the Amerlin, she becomes the head of the
Aes Sedai. That was kind of like, she kind of had that where the you have to train to become that. She had a little bit of that, but yeah, like you said, it's just like narrative to get to, they need to do what they have to do to defeat the evil one. Generic, I would kind of say.
It's just weird, isn't it, that sometimes you can be aware of the however many shortcomings a book or a series may have and still like it, right? Because it happens to me with some book series. I appreciate they can be a bit generic. They can be a bit, but I still like him for whatever the reason. I'm assuming that this is what happens with the Wheel of Time, that maybe most people are aware of all these things we are discussing, but for whatever the reason, they still like it.
Okay, so did you have any in those books? Like, I'll give you an example. Did you have anything that you actually really liked? Like, for me, I really, like I said, I liked the second book. I liked when the Sanshin captured Egwene, because it actually put some stakes. The Sanshin, you know, in the second book were actually a pretty good villain. And then I also liked the Battle of Two Rivers when the Trollocs came and Perrin had to kind of gather up. I liked that part. Did you have any in the moment? And then the first blowing of the horn was kind of cool, where Matt's like, well, he never said I didn't have to blow the horn. He blows it. And did you have any of that?
Oh, I don't think I did. But I'm gonna try to be fair here. I'm gonna try to be self-critical. I think, because I tried to not know much or any, I tried to find out as little as possible about the series before starting it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Wheel of Time, you know, this is one of the most biggest selling fantasy, you know, okay, this is gonna be great. And then book one is fairly average, so I wasn't wowed. So then I kind of stopped. Like, I was like, is this it? This is how great it is? And that kind of sense of disappointment in the first book,
yeah,
carried through. And maybe that kind of attitude just stopped me from seeing that there may be some good bits there. So maybe I think that's my fault. So, yeah, you're right. There's some concepts that are quite cool, like, you know, blowing the horn and these ancient heroes of legend coming back to life, but then only one of them really does take part in the story. But yeah, no, that was cool. Yeah, sorry. No.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, like yeah.
I'll tell you one thing I really enjoyed, which is totally, it's in one of the latter books when Matt goes on this weird side quest in this haunted house.
Okay.
It feels almost like a small self-contained horror story.
Yeah.
Within the books. I thought that's really cool.
Yeah.
It adds nothing to the story. It doesn't serve any purpose. So why is it here?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Do you have a favorite character? Did you have one that did you actually care? Like, did you have a favorite?
Nah.
I would say Lan. I liked his chapters.
Lan was consistent.
Yeah. And that might be why I liked it, yeah.
Lan was consistent throughout. So I guess Min was also fairly consistent.
Uh-huh. Throughout
the series. And but with Min, maybe I missed some of them, those foreshadowings that people talk about. Mm-hmm. But maybe I was too dumb to realize that there was a foreshadowing before the events happened. Because to me, those kind of visions that she had were so vague that they could explain almost anything that happened later. But maybe I was too dumb to appreciate the detail of it. I don't know.
Well, here I have a proposition. Now, a lot of people say you have to reread this series to actually really fully enjoy it. So what do you say next month we start over again?
Yeah, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. You know, I actually counted. I started reading The Wheel of Time on the 31st of December, 2020.
Okay.
I finished the last book 425 days later.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be doing that again anytime soon, because every time I think about every other single book I could have read.
Yeah.
Like 2021 was probably my least enjoyable year of reading, because I was plowing through this monster. Like, now, after finishing in March, I think I've read so much more and I've enjoyed so much more what I've been reading.
Yeah.
Because even if I pick something I don't quite enjoy, it's going to be over relatively quickly and I can just move on to the next bit. But that was kind of like an albatross hanging over my head for the whole of the year. And the books are going long and I don't have the time that so many of you have. I'm very jealous, but I cannot read, you know, 3 books in 1 month. For me, getting one of those bricks done in 1 month was a bit of a challenge.
I have.
So now the whole reread. No, but back to your point, right? So I did a bit of a search on Spotify, all these different podcasts and stuff. And there's people there that discuss every single paragraph in the book. Like they attach some meaning to things that happen in the first 2 chapters of book one. And it's like, really?
See, and that might be because I did listen to a podcast called Heroes of the Horn for the first 3 books because that's what they were up to. And that might be why I enjoyed those 3 books better, because I would read a chapter and they'd break, they'd take, it was 1 chapter, 1 episode, you know?
Yeah.
They would break down what happened. So, because it's a very dense book. So it's about one guy who is rereading the series and one guy who is starting it for the first time.
Yeah.
So the one guy who is rereading it can kind of like, you know, hey, just, you don't have to pay too much attention to this, but he can kind of explain. Because Wheel of Time, the first, like, before you actually know what's going on, I mean, I never really knew what was going on, I guess, but it's a very dense book, and that podcast was good to, I'll read this chapter, and I had no idea what happened. I'll listen to the podcast, and I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. So I listened to that podcast for the first 3 books, but then I caught up to them and I wanted to keep going because they're still on like book 5 and that was like 2 years ago. They're breaking this down like,
there's too many red herrings and there's too many pointless characters that like, there's no point on dwelling on what they do or say because it doesn't matter. It's like that.
The circus
scene, the circus director that wants to marry Nynaeve, and then 2 books later turns out that he's actually married or whatever, like, or he loves Nynaeve but turns out he was married all along, and like, I don't know, and that went nowhere, and that guy doesn't play any role in any way, shape or form, and there's a lot of that.
Did the Tinkerers ever really, I mean, there was that one massacre of the Tinkerers kind of thing, but did they, I don't know, the Way of the Leaf, I mean,
well, you see, with the Tinkers, it's like they were what the Aiel used to be, right?
Yeah. So
we discovered that. But there, I think that they did my man the dirt. That Tinker guy that picks up the sword and gives up. And then he turns out to betray either Rand or...
Yeah, he tries to kill Rand. He tries to stab him in the back and he gets shot.
Right. But this guy, we follow him for 4 or 5 books. Turns out he's a turncoat and he just gets killed.
Yeah.
And in the next paragraph, we've moved on.
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't think he was like a, he saw a vision. He got like, concussed or something. He thought Rand was a dark or something like that. It was really a pretty dumb way. It wasn't like a very clever way. Like, this guy's been bad all along. It's like he got confused and it was something like that. And it was, yeah.
and that's another example of the lack of setup to a lot of the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, for someone that hasn't read the books, like anything, any character could do anything in the next page because we don't have a build-up to anything, really. And I just don't think the books are very well written.
No, shh, don't say that, though.
I don't think Robert Jordan was a very good writer.
Yeah, no, I've never read his Conan stuff, because that's where he became famous, and apparently that's pretty good stuff, but I'm not going to read him. You didn't read New Spring. I skipped that. That was that prequel.
No.
We decided not to do that.
No interest whatsoever. No.
So speaking of like characters and stuff like that, So Rand basically walks off to be just do whatever. Egwene's dead. Did Nynaeve? I can't remember what happened to Nynaeve. Matt got married. Matt might be the most happiest of them all. He got married and he's gonna have a kid, I guess.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think the ending was acceptable.
Okay.
I think it was all right. But again, that last book was very padded because that last battle lasts 400 pages or something like that, or 500 pages, which I don't know. It's really hard to enjoy a battle because you unless you got really good visuals to support it, you got all these things happening in all these different parts of the world that I couldn't see. I couldn't comprehend really, and I didn't want to make the effort to figure out who was where, defending exactly what position, and do what. So I think a really long battle like that is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, I'm going to just act like I usually like battle scenes. Like I love John Gwynn when he does his battle scenes because that's kind of what I was expecting, but I shouldn't have gone in there like expecting that. But that battle scene, I don't know how to put this in a way. It was so long, and there was still, like, even in a battle, like, it didn't seem like nothing was really happening. I don't know if you ever got that sense, besides, like, when Dremedred was wrecking shit, and Egwene was, she fought Tame, I think, Mazrim Tame. That was kind of an interesting little, you know, battle, but yeah, other than that, like, yeah, it was 400 pages of it. Yeah.
Going back to the previous point, but I'll tell you the bit I enjoyed is this. Well, there was the really weak Asher Man in the last couple of books, the one that could only do portals that kind of hooks up with the Aes Sedai. We're there with Mazrim Tame, and they're trying to escape. So I like that character and the interaction that he had with the Aes Sedai, because it was possibly the only positive male and female interaction in the whole series, where they kind of actually respect each other.
Uh-huh.
Because throughout the series, I mean, how did humanity not become extinct? Men hate women, mostly women hate the men in this world, and it's just a horrendous kind of society that the whole world is built up. And I think that side character, probably I did enjoy that.
Okay. Something that I just thought of, like, I thought we were in for a bad time. The first, I'm assuming you probably thought in the first book, you're like, okay, this might not go very good. For me, it was, there was that, I think it was in book 4 or 5, there was that Aielman who led the split off of Rand's group. Yeah. I can't remember his name. And they made it, it was a build up to this huge battle between Rand and this other Aiel guy who led the baddie Aiel. And he gets killed off screen. It's just Matt saying, oh yeah, we met up with them and we killed them off screen, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, this is not good. Like, you had this huge buildup to these two guys going against each other and there's a fight off screen. And that was just, that was when I got angry, kind of like, okay, now I'm not happy about this.
There are very many anticlimactic moments.
Yeah, that's what
throughout the series, isn't it? Because I think, speaking about, again, sorry, we keep sort of taking one step forward, one step back, but that final battle, I think in Robert Jordan's head, the last book was meant to be one last book. And then obviously Brandon Sanderson comes along and he needs to write 3, because that's what Sanderson does, isn't it? He gets paid by the page, must be, I don't know, something like that. So he's the one that turned Jordan's notes into 3 books rather than one. Because you take that final battle, you trim out the 400 pages into 50, and really you only need possibly only two books, not three at the end.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, the whole series could have been contained in the fifth.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah,
five
yeah.
books. What do you think yeah. of the slog, the infamous slog?
There was a book I positively hated, but it was the shortest one out of all of them. So I tend to have a look at them. Is it Crown of Swords?
Crown of Swords is a pretty hated one, I think.
Book seven. No, I think it's the thinnest one there. But the slog, I felt, there was one book that I thought, oh, it's good. We are on the slog. And it's like, oh no, the next one is rubbish again. So this like a, you come out for fresh air and then you go underwater. Yeah.
Like a roller coaster.
But no, it wasn't as dreadful as all of that. I think I've heard comments on the internet that people said that the slog is mostly because people were waiting for the next book.
Yeah.
And then they were getting these chunkers where not a lot happens and you have to wait another 1 year or 2 years to get the next one. But I reckon, I think I've said in one of my reviews that there must be, I can't remember now, but one of the books that you could actually skip. You could not read one of the books.
Yeah.
And you didn't miss a bit.
Yeah, I think that was, wasn't that Crossroads? Because that was like the little book, I believe.
Maybe you're right. Maybe Cross. Yeah. Because, the one, maybe. Somewhere between books.
It all blends together because it's all garbage. I'm sorry, it's garbage. Good authors don't do this. Like, good authors keep you, they don't just, you know, some good authors can string you along, but want you to keep gobbling it all up. Like, this was, like, I've never heard of another series, like, when fans tell me, okay, FYI, these four books in this series are not very good, but you have to get through them to get the. What's the point then? Good authors shouldn't. If you're a good author, you should be able to keep your reader interested throughout, and not drag you along for five books. It's just that kind of just it. Oh man.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think just to bring it back to my previous point about being a mapping out writer or a discovery writer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Robert Jordan sitting in his house going, okay, I'm going to plan this epic book series, and right here I'm going to have four books where nothing happens, where I'm just going to have people chatting. And it's like, no, Matt, if you actually did that, you deserve to go to author hell. Whatever that looks like, that's where you need to be. But no, going off on a tangent here completely, how do you feel about picking up another massive book series like Malazan or Stormlight is shaping up to be after your experience with this?
Okay. I would have to wait till they're done. Like, that's I read the first three Stormlight books and I said, okay, I'm going to wait because I can't retain so much information. Like, I'd have to reread, and I'm not gonna be able to reread a bunch of Stormlight. The Stormlight books are good. They do keep you more interested. Like Malazan, I tried the first book like three times, and it's a really tough read. Like, I can't, like I'm sure you've heard the thing where he just drops you into this world, and you kind of have to figure it out. I can't really do that. So I don't think I'm going to ever start Malazan again. Stormlight, I will wait. It's a little bit easier read, in my opinion. I will wait until, because I think he said it's going to be 10 books, but it's going to be the first five are going to be like an arc, and the next five are going to be another arc. So I'll wait until the fifth book comes out, and then I'll reread the first two or three Stormlight books and then continue on. I don't have a – it all depends on – like, let's say John Gwynne comes out and releases a 1,000-page book, and it's going to be, he says it's going to be like a 7-book series. I'd read that because John Gwynne's a great author. I love his works. I guess I'm not going to be hesitant to pick up a work. It has to be completed, I guess.
Right. So he hasn't tainted your approach.
No.
Picking up a big series.
No, because I think he wasn't good. I don't know why people like it so much, but you know, it's like Brandon Sanderson's a good author. Like I trust him that he's not going to just leave his readers, you know, wondering like, why is this taking so long and blah, blah, blah.
Not purposely, no.
No, yeah. Like, I really want to read Game of Thrones, but I'm not going to until they're done because you're just left with a cliffhanger just waiting to see what happens. And it's just like...
Let me tell you, you're never going to start it.
Have you read those? I don't remember if you said
yeah,
you read
them. Yeah, I've got them all somewhere hidden here.
So you've read them all? You've read all five yet? And are you gonna rush out to the bookstore and buy the Winds of Winter if it comes?
My biggest video in my channel.
Okay, yeah.
It's got slightly over 10,000 views. It's titled "I Don't Dream of a Spring: Why I've Given Up."
Oh.
Because
you're not gonna do it.
in my opinion, Martin is not a writer anymore. He's a businessman. He is a Song of Ice and Fire business. He's George Lucas of Star Wars. So now he's busy with TV shows, comic book adaptations, merchandising, all that sort of stuff. And it's been ridiculous amount of years from the last book that was published. I want to say even 15 years.
I think it was like 2007.
And every so often I check his website because he's got a blog and he writes about all sorts of American sports and buying a train line, and he's got his own theater in Santa Fe and stuff. He never hardly ever talks about writing. And when he does, kind of you sort of tally up. And he's probably written about 20 chapters of a book that is meant to be 60 chapters long. So it's never gonna happen. It's never going to happen.
So, okay, let's just say by some miracle, he releases them. Maybe that's what he's waiting. Maybe he releases them both at once. You wouldn't go buy them?
I would. I would be all over that, like a Tijuana hooker. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what frustrates me the most is that I think that A Song of Ice and Fire could be Lord of the Rings for the 21st century. I think it is that good a series.
Okay, so I'm going to switch the question around on you. Does this taint you for, are you ever going to see a bit, like Malazan, are you ever look at that and like, I can't do it?
I am reluctant because what I wanted this year to be about was, I want to finish the year with a clean slate. And then I want 2023, I can just pick up whatever I want. So I wanted to finish Wheel of Time. I want to finish The Realm of the Elderlings by Robin Hobb. I've got 4 more books there. I want to finish the Elric Saga. I've got 3 more books there. I got roped into the whole First Law world. I've got 3 or 4 more books there. I want to finish 2022, no series ongoing, and then think about if I want to embark on a big project in 2023, whether it's Stormlight or Malazan. But every time I look at Malazan and I hear the whole thing about you don't know what's going on, and it's another however many books and all quite chunky and stuff, I might not make a commitment like I did with Wheel of Time. I might pick up the first book, see how it goes. And if I really get carried away, then do it. And if I don't, maybe pick one every 2-3 months. Like, I don't want to commit to a big series like I did with Wheel of Time.
Yeah. I would recommend Stormlight. It's a pretty decent read. It's thick, but like I said, it's Brandon Sanders, and he can keep you entertained. It's just a matter of, I mean, like, I don't want to wait between big, thick books.
No, and I didn't rate Mistborn that highly, but I thought it was okay. I thought the guy can clearly spin a yarn, and, you know, I like his whole magic system stuff going on. I was thinking maybe picking up Elantris or Warbreaker, a couple of standalones, to see if my opinion of him improves a little bit, and then maybe give Stormlight a go next year, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I am gonna, once that fifth book comes out, I'll probably restart them. And there's a lot of podcasts that you can listen to, kind of with the, what, I don't know if that's your thing, but I like to listen to these podcasts sometimes and read along with the podcast, because they break it down, what's happening, kind of thing. It's a lot easier.
There's so many things to try out there, but the thing is, my time is fairly, I've got very limited time. Like, honestly, I have to get up at 6 in the morning to squeeze in 35 minutes of reading in my day, because work and the kids take pretty much my day.
Yeah.
And then reading is not the only thing I do. I like long distance running, and that takes a fair amount of time as well. If I want to go out running 4 or 5 days a week, you know,
and that's what reading should be. It's a leisure, activity. It's something you do. You know, I read most just to wind down at the end of the night before bed.
Me too. And sometimes I gotta keep reminding myself, when I see your channel, other people's channels, and I see the massive, like, how much people get to read in a month, all these massive book hauls and stuff like that, it's like, oh my god. But it's like, well, you know, I'm in a different point of my life. I am me. I'm not that kind of person. And as much as I would like to be, I've got other things going on. So.
Oh, yeah. A good, solid, nice trilogy is what I like. You know, that is my preference. I like standalone books, but a nice trilogy, that's what I prefer. I don't really... Because this was 14. Malazan, I think, is 7. Stormlight's going to be 10. I like a good... Like, those 10-book series are fun, if you actually enjoying them. But, you know, a good, solid trilogy. Or, like John Gwynn's got that, you know, the 4 books and The Faithful and the Fallen, the 7, if you include the X3. That's great. Yeah, I mean, just keep a nice trilogy. That's my favorite.
That's why I quite like The Realm of the Otherlings here, because... It's a big book series.
But it's in threes.
It's in threes, and they don't follow the same characters all the time. Mm-hmm. So I started it, I don't know, 3 years ago. And then next year you can pick the next trilogy, and then 2 years later you pick the next three. And it's manageable, and it's enjoyable, and it's okay. Whereas I don't know if with Malazan, because... Malazan, there's two authors writing in that world.
Yeah.
And I think you're meant to read both. In apparently Erickson, I've seen him say that you're meant to read them in publication order. That's what makes more sense from both authors. So that's not a 7 book series. That
becomes, I didn't know it was Steven Erickson. I thought that was like a prequel or something. I didn't know that they intersect. Oh, that's even more intimidating then.
Because what I've seen, people that are doing the read along and all the stuff, I haven't seen anyone. All people I see are just reading the Erickson books, but no one is reading the Esselmont books, which are written in the same world, and the author is telling you to read them in publication order. Don't try to come up with your own timeline. Don't try to follow the internal chronology of the series. So, dare I say, these people are cheating. You know, you're not reading Malazan as it's meant to be. That.
I meant Esselmont. I thought Esselmont wrote like a pre. I thought it was a prequel because Erickson's the main writer. Yeah, I thought Esselmont wrote like a prequel. I made a mistake there, but yeah, I'm not. I didn't know that. I knew that there was two authors. I didn't know that they were both. You know. I thought one was a different story, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's my understanding, and I haven't touched any of the books. Like, but from what I've seen, and I think on the Wikipedia page of on the Malazan, it says there that that's how it's meant to be.
So, did you watch the TV show of the time?
I watched season one. I did. I won't be surprised if it ends up getting canceled.
I only made it through three and I stopped because I didn't like it.
I watched the first season and it was watchable. It was watchable, but it just felt very generic. I think it's not a very good adaptation of the books. And with all the controversy around the Rings of Power, all I'm going to say is that I think as a fan of a book series or a fan of a book, when you see a movie or a series adaptation, you want to see what you've read on the screen. You don't want to see someone's interpretation of it or the director of the studio adding their own vision of it. I think that's why the Lord of the Rings movies were so successful, because Peter Jackson put on screen what he read on the page. That's not what's happened with The Wheel of Time.
Okay.
I think they've made enough changes there that the hardcore fan may be disappointed. I mean, I'm not a fan, but just it wasn't great. It wasn't good.
Okay, so you think it's going to be canned. All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I think with these streaming services, it's really hard to get viewer numbers.
Yeah.
I don't think the books are great. I don't think the TV show improved anything at all. I've spoken to a friend who watched it but hasn't read the books and said that it was okay.
Okay, so that's not a good sign if the book readers are, or the non-book readers are like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't enhance my experience. It didn't improve it. And I suspect any non-book reader that watches the show and picks up the books are in for a surprise.
Wow. Yeah, I just thought it was boring and I did not continue with the series just because I don't know, like the characters just looked not, I mean, it was, I don't know. There was something about it. The world didn't look, have that lived in feel that like, you know, other fantasy series have.
You know what I hated the most is, I hated it in The Wheel of Time, but I hated it in fantasy in general, is cartoonish antagonists. Antagonists that are so bad that they do stupid things for the sake of being bad and evil. I don't know if you, I think it was in episode two where you get the Children of the Light and you got this dude in the pristine white tunic after he's been horse riding for days in the forest and he's got, get out of here. Like, no. And then he looks cartoonish because it doesn't make sense.
Oh, I'm glad I stopped. I don't know why I didn't go back. It just wasn't like, I don't want to waste my time with this.
No, and I've got zero intentions of watching the second season. I don't know how, maybe I watched it. I can't even remember how I watched it. It must have been, was it during the holidays? It came out or close to Christmas or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It was. Oh, shit. I think it was like, it was like November, I believe.
Maybe I was watching it like in the mornings while I was having breakfast or something. Like, I did not. In my house, I cannot make a point to sit down and watch something on telly because the kids and my wife, you know, if I had to sit down to watch something with my wife, it's something we're both going to like and she's not going to like that. So I think I must have watched them on the fly on my own whilst getting ready in the morning or in the evenings or something like that. And, no interest.
No, I'm not going to. I don't plan to. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to watch it again.
Right. So, interesting segue then, as usual, going off on a tangent. what book series would you like to see turn into a TV show?
Shit. Oh, it's got to be John Gwynn's Faithful and the Fallen.
You were going to say that.
Have you ever read Brian Lee Durfee's The Five Warriors? I'm reading those, like rereading those right now, because the third and final book is coming in November. That would make a great TV show. It's got to be Faithful in the Fall. That is number one with a bullet. Has to be. I think it'd be great. Because you've read that series, yeah.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. Like, I wouldn't say, I think I gave it like an 8 out of 10. I thought there was nothing new there. I thought it was very cliched. It ticked all the boxes of cliches in fantasy, but I thought it was a very good execution of those cliches. You got the village boy, mm-hmm. You got fight against evil, you got your artifacts, you got it's got all the boxes. Tick, 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 tick. But it's very well written. It's very well executed. So, whereas there's nothing new to the table, I can see a lot of people enjoying it because
it's like a warm apple pie. Apple pie is easy, but it's classic. Everyone loves apple pie. I mean,
yeah. I've talked to people that are critical of it because for that very reason, that it's kind of cookie cut out. You know, traditional good guy, bad guy. But I enjoy that. I do enjoy that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's my wheelhouse. That's what I enjoy.
That's right. And from that perspective and understanding what it is, it's very well done. It's very well written.
So what about you? What TV, if you had a choice, what would be your series?
Right, I'm going to get politically incorrect here. Anyway, we haven't got any viewership to worry about. So there's a lot of the whole female empowerment thing going on these days, right? We're trying to build women up and all that kind of stuff, right? And we're changing characters in books and movies to make them female-led. Realm of the Elderlings has got fantastically well-written, strong female characters. I would love to see that done. Because instead of taking established male character and turning them female for the sake of representation, you've got a wealth of really good material there, ready made to do it. All you just have to do is adapt it to the medium.
Yeah.
So I think Realm of the Elderlings, I would really like to see done as a TV show.
I suppose, like, I'm surprised that has not been made into anything, because that's been around for a while, and that seems to be the next one that everyone's like, why hasn't this been a movie?
The problem with fantasy is that it's very expensive to make.
Yeah.
Because you need all the special effects, all the locations, costumes, stuff like that, and it's just not that well known, I suppose. It's not an 80 million... book selling series.
Yeah. But same thing, like, if you do it right, you're going to make so much more money coming back. Like I didn't know what Game of Thrones was before I started watching that show, and I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
It
was one day I went to my sister's house and she was watching it. I was like, what is this? And then I picked up the books and went, oh, all right.
Yeah. You do that with Realm of the Elderings, people are going, especially like we're looking for that next Game of Thrones. The world is kind of waiting to see if what this Lord of the Rings show is going to do. But if you hype up this Realm of the Elderlings, people will come and watch it.
I think, in my head, because you've got these distinct characters and story plots, kind of every season could focus on one of the trilogies. You have to have, I don't know, more than 10 episodes per season. But, you know, and every season will take you into a different part of the universe that Robin Hobb has created. And eventually, from what I understand, everything comes together in the last season. So that'll be quite cool to see. Because you could watch season 2 first and then season 1, just like with the books, you can read
Yeah.
The truth is, in a certain amount of not publishing order.
One thing, I'm surprised, like, Mistborn has not been turned into a TV show. Like, I think that would, like, that's a very popular author.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that has not come into fruition.
Yeah, I suspect the problem is going to be if Wheel of Time and Rings of Power don't do well, studios are going to get cautious about fantasy.
Okay.
And then we won't see very many adaptations because they're very expensive and you need to make a lot of money back.
So speaking of Rings of Power, I haven't talked to you about the trailer that came out. So are you excited for this or are you hesitant?
Not one bit, no. Oh, yeah. And months before anything, I made a video where I said I'm not interested because they haven't got the rights to anything. Any pre-Lord of the Rings story that they want to tell, they haven't got the rights to it. So they're not going to be telling the Silmarillion. They're not going to be... So what are they going to tell me? They're going to make up their own stuff.
Are you going to try to watch it?
I might end up, you know, giving it a look just because I've got Amazon Prime. So, but my point was, you're just making stuff up here. You're not going to show me what I've read in the Silmarillion that I may be interested in. And then everything that has come out after, I'm a little bit ambivalent about it. Like, I don't have an issue with female dwarves. You know, they do exist and all this. I don't care about that sort of thing. But I do care about the fact that Galadriel is meant to be this wizard elven princess. She's not meant to be a kick-ass warrior wearing armor. And again...
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, like I said before, I want to see on the screen what I've read on the page. And if you're not going to be doing that, that's where I've got an issue.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just that Amazon... Like, I had high hopes for Wheel of Time, the TV show. And since I stopped that, like, now I'm kind of like, well, they kind of fucked that up. I mean, I'll watch The Ring of Power, but I'm not like, I don't know. It's... I'm hesitant. Yeah,
I thought that the Wheel of Time series, the TV show, would be better than the books. That was my...
Yeah.
Because they got an opportunity to cut out the boring bits, to just, you know, focus on the... But they didn't. They missed Sacrilege, right? That is a very iconic scene where Ran escapes from the Trollocs dragging his dad.
Yeah.
From the farm to the village, right?
Yeah.
That's not in the TV show. And that's such it's an important part of the story.
Yeah, and that's why, oh man. Yeah. I'm not I really hope it does well, The Rings of Power I'm talking about, but I don't know. Now I'm kind of worried. I am very skeptical, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, my argument again was Peter Jackson and the two writers with him, they were fans of the books, and they really wanted to do it for the love of the books and see a good adaptation of it. Amazon doesn't love the Silmarillion. They're doing it for money.
Yeah.
They are chasing the next... They want to have their own Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And it seemed like I don't know if you watched The Witcher, but that's kind of missing. Like, I watched half of season two and kind of like gave up on it. Everyone's trying to get that next Game of Thrones, but it'll be fun to see who gets it. Like, who's going to get that next big TV show that everybody watches? Like, Game of Thrones took over the world. Like, everybody watched Game of Thrones. I'm kind of curious, what's the next big show? And I think it has to be some sort of fantasy story. Yes. I don't think a lot of people are going to tune into like a thriller, like a Jack Ryan, like Tom Clancy stuff. I think it has to be like a fantasy or a science fiction tale.
I'll tell you who's going to do it. Whoever adapts the books for what they are, not because of they want to add to the story. These books are popular because of how they are. People love them because of the story they tell and how they tell it. If you mess with that, then you're doing something else and you risk people not liking it, because what makes you think you're going to improve on Brandon Sanderson's view of Mistborn?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there's a lot of very popular fantasy series out there. Maybe to a lesser degree, The Gentleman Bastards, Name of the Wind. There's a lot of very popular fantasy series that can probably reach a much wider audience through the TV show. But just do what the books are telling you. Don't try to. So whoever does that with whatever series they choose, I think we'll get it right.
That's a good point. Like, appease the fans. But I think that, they're going to have to figure. Because you got to. I can see their point, but appease the fans. And that's what they should just focus on. And other people will come around, I think. Don't try to do it. Because I think that's what Wheel of Time did, is they tried to get not just the fans. They wanted to rope in everyone else. So they put this spin on it to make it easier to understand for the average Joe. And that, I think, was their the downfall. Like make those other people have to just come around. Unfortunately, that's...
Yeah, but and also, I don't know, just however much time you need to tell the story, that's what you should do. If you come into it with, it's going to be 4 seasons, 10 episodes per season, that may be okay for some stories, that may not be enough for others.
Definitely. You're going to need more than, I don't even know how you'd break up like Mistborn and stuff. The Realm of the Elderings, like you, what you were saying, the break up of the three books into one season kind of thing, it'd have to be a longer season, definitely. But even the Game of Thrones stuff, they changed some stuff, but it wasn't to the extreme, I guess.
No, and again, obviously George Martin was quite involved in it.
Yeah.
So up until they ran out of material, they did a very good job of it. You know, like you said, it took over the world. So,
and I think that's what you bring the author in, like as like an actual, like if you want a writer, because the authors, that's what they do. They write. I would say at least bring them in to like they're not. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just like, that's what's hard about Rings of Power, is they really don't have, you know, the author's dead. Like they can't bring him in. But Brandon Sanderson could definitely have his hand into a Mistborn thing.
Yeah, and he's been very cautious about Wheel of Time TV show. He's been very sort of sitting on the fence about it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to alienate anybody.
He said that what they've done is kind of, what did he say? Something like they've done a reiteration of the wheel. So he's kind of saying that no, this is not the story in the books. It's how the story of the books could have gone in the next turning of the wheel type thing. It's not It's not outright saying it's not right, but I think he's hinting at that. I think that just tells you. He's not fully backing up and supporting
the only thing was like that Rafe Judkins, like he was a super fan, and I don't know why he decided to change all this stuff. The guy who wrote, and I think he's the director or something like that of the TV show, like apparently like they were touting him to be like a super fan of the series, and they thought it was going to be in good hands, but I don't know if it was studio interference or .
Yeah, I don't know. That's Bryce there. Hi. Thank you for watching. Yeah, maybe there's a great amount of studio interference, isn't it? And you start with the best intentions, and we know what the road to hell looks like. So,
yeah,
it could be that.
That's the only thing I can assume. But you could be very. It could be canceled. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
I'm not hoping it gets canceled.
No, I'm not hoping it gets canceled. I hope it finds its legs.
Because if it works, and if the Rings of Power works, then we'll get more, isn't it? And we may get the ones we want to see. It's just that I'm not very hopeful, that's all.
And that'll expand, like, for maybe some of my books that I want to get adapted. If Amazon sees that, if they find their legs for Wheel of Time, and if they come out swinging with the Ring of Power, and people actually start to come around on these two series, that'll just get, like, you know, like I said, maybe Realm of the Elderlings will be optioned next. I thought I saw something where the Kingkiller Chronicles was going to be like a TV show, but I could be wrong on that. I thought I saw something. I haven't read those books because, again, they're not finished. I'm not going to read something. And I don't know. That one was – isn't that one – that's one that's been longer than Game of Thrones, I thought. Like, that's – we're waiting.
Well, you've got – that's the trifecta of long delayed authors, isn't it?
It's Gentleman Bastards, Scott Lynch.
Scott Lynch, Rothfuss, and Martin. Although Scott Lynch, he's been through some weird stuff in his life. I mean, okay. I give him a pass there. Apparently the guy got divorced, which is never pleasant. Then he married again and he got sued for some nasty sexual harassment thing, stuff happening there. So there's been a lot.
I don't know when was his last, but I don't know how long the wait. His wasn't as long as like Patrick Rothfuss, right? I don't know when the last book was.
Well, Republic of Thieves is from 2013.
Okay.
And in theory, no. Throne of Amberlynn, the next one, has been handed in. It's finished.
Oh, okay. So
either it's going through rewrites or editing, but he posted once on Twitter, like, oh, here's the manuscript. It's done.
Uh-huh.
So it should have come out last year, but maybe, I don't know, editing, rewrites. The cover has been designed for years, but I'm guessing it will come out next year. And okay. I'm hoping that he's over all his personal stuff and he can finish the series because I quite enjoyed it, really.
Yeah, I've heard. I've read the first one and just kind of like, okay, I'm going to wait. But yeah, I mean, Rothfuss, I don't think he's turned in anything. And then Martin hasn't turned anything. So Scott Lynch might be the next guy. At least he's trying, I guess. I mean.
Yeah. I met him, actually.
Yeah.
I got my first two books in the series. He signed them up for me.
Where'd you run into him?
It was at a convention in London when I used to live there, and they did a bit of like a mix, like authors and comics and stuff like that.
Okay.
And he was there. And he's like, oh, all right, then. I'll get my first two books signed. And Brian McClellan was there and a couple others. So yeah. But, I mean, this must have been, I was still in the UK, maybe 2018, 2017. So the weird thing is that he hasn't published anything or written anything in 4 or 5 years, and he's still in the convention circuit.
Oh, he's a very popular. That's a popular series he's got. Yeah,
getting paid for promoting nothing, really.
Yeah, but at least he's, like I said, at least he's got something in the world. Like, I haven't heard the last thing about what Rothfuss had. Like, I know he does all these podcasts and stuff, but I don't know if he's, what was it called, Stone of Door? I can't remember what it's called.
Something like that. There's one series I'm really curious about. But again, like you, I'll wait until it's finished.
Yeah. Which one? The King Killer? That's one you're looking at?
Yeah.
I have the first two books, and I picked up the first book. I read a few, like, you know, almost halfway, and I just like, I'm going to have to wait because this is going to be, there's so much information in there that I'm going to have to reread this book in order to, you know, move on. And I just don't want to do that right now. But I think that, yeah, that's, those guys are the only ones that I've heard, like, let's go, let's get this going. Like the fans want, I just don't understand why, like, I get why Martin did it. Cause you said like, he became a business guy. He's all about that, but you're really screwing over your fans that, like, who, like, I just, like, they were so loyal, and you're just kind of, like, stringing them along.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you heard Neil Gaiman talking about, you know, his famous line, George Martin is not your bitch. He doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah.
I think this is, like, moral obligation there, mate. Like, you know, you put yourself a fucking train line with a train and a cinema because we've bought your books. The very least you could is finish it for us. And all you're going to do by finishing that book is give him more money because we're all gagging for it. Like we just take my money, George. Like literally. But I don't know.
All right. Do you think, like, God, if, like, he does end up passing, do you think someone else will take up that series?
Yes. And you think someone will take it? I've given it some thought. I think it should be a team up between Joe Abercrombie and John Wynn.
Holy shit.
Because I think that John Wynn is quite good as doing the multiple POV thing.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Abercrombie's got the right grimdark touch there. So I think a team up, and they're both British, so they could meet.
Yeah.
They could sort it out. I think that, yeah. If Martin left notes before passing, I would like to see those two do it.
I would think they'd have to. Hopefully he left. But I have faith in other authors coming in and finishing that story, like, even if he didn't leave notes, like, doing it. What's this one? The advance. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, fair enough. If, you know, if you've been paid, you've taken money on the promise that you're going to deliver something, then yeah, isn't it? At least, maybe not to the fans, but at least to the author.
Well, I didn't know that. Like, I didn't. I thought he was just like, yeah, that's kind of, I didn't know that. Like, that's got to be like a lawsuit or something, or something like that, I would think. I mean, because
whoever wants to get involved with that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's, wow. So that's even, but yeah, John Gwynjo, that would be a fun, co-author thing. Hopefully he did leave those notes on how you can somewhat, this is where he wants all the characters to end up, but that's a pretty good one. I thought it was going to be more, you'd have to have somebody who, like you said, Joe Abercrombie would be a great fit. You couldn't have, but I don't think, Sanderson couldn't do Game of Thrones. His tone. Because that's what everyone was throwing around.
Now, can you imagine, and also Sanderson has become his thing now. He doesn't need to, when he finished Wheel of Time, he wasn't what he is now. But can you imagine the work that Joe Abercrombie could do with Tyrion, writing dialogue for him?
Yes.
That'd be absolutely fantastic.
I have not heard the Joe Abercrombie thing. Like that and a John Gwynn team up, because John Gwynn can write the different, he's very good at jumping around. But Joe Abercrombie, that's probably the best. Is he the best grimdark guy out there right now? Trying to think.
I'm not a grimdark expert. I don't quite know how many books are out there. Abercrombie, from what I've read, I really enjoyed First Law. I enjoyed one and a half of the standalones. We'll see what happens with the next trilogy. But his dialogue, he can and witty.
His dialogue is great. The fight scenes are fine. Because I read that trilogy, yeah. Christopher Rocchio, okay. So
he
wrote The Empire of the Sun. It's like it's being very popular right now. I have the first book. I read the first book. It's kind of like it's a lot of inspiration with Dune. It's great. I liked it a lot. And he's got, I think there's four books right now. The fourth book, I believe, just came out. Kingdom of something. I apologize, but Christopher Rocchio, he's Sun Eater. Yeah, the Sun Eater series. Thank you. It's that series is blowing up right now, and that would make a perfect TV show or a movie. But a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's just Dune. Because there's a lot, you can definitely see a lot of Dune inspiration, which is great because Dune inspired a lot of things. So, I mean, why not? But I really enjoyed the first book. I have not picked up the next. I think I'm going to wait until the series is complete. I think it's going to be a five-book series. And he's cranking them out. That's what I love about this. Like, I think it's like a year he's cranking out these books. But yeah, Christopher Rocchio, I haven't heard of him since like last year. He's just being lauded. It's great too. But it's like a science fiction book. I don't know if you're like, do you read a whole lot of that science fiction type stuff? Yeah. So it might not be your cup of tea, but yeah, Christopher Rocchio he's like an up and comer, and I think he's going to be the next, in my opinion, I think he's the next, like Sanderson, the next big thing that's coming out of the fantasy science fiction world. That's a great point. Christopher Rocchio to finish The Song of Ice and Fire. That'd be kind of fun.
I think we'll see it finished by someone else. I think there would be definitely demand for it. I think people want to see.
Oh yeah.
It's not gonna be the case where, you know, when Terry Pratchett died, he just got his daughter to run a, you know, steamroller over his computer, make sure no one touched this world, because it was done. He did what he did and it was done and didn't want anyone messing with it. And that's great. But I think here it's not going to be done, I don't think. And people really want that. So someone will, I'm sure someone would be willing to do it.
Oh, I think, yeah, if it doesn't get, hopefully he just finishes it. The only thing, I know it's a pipe dream, but the only thing I'm thinking is, what if he surprises us and releases two of them, like one month, and then like 3 months later, he releases A Dream of Spring. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
and he's just been playing this. I would forgive him immediately. Like, holy shit, you've been playing us this whole time, but you were really writing two books. They're 1,000 pages each, just to finish the series. So then I'd run out and grab them all and read them in a weekend.
I think I would say to that whatever you're smoking, I want the same.
Oh, jeez.
Right. No, but apparently he writes. He writes on a very old computer. He still writes on a very old word processor, because he said that because of all the names and he gets misspellings and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe his computer is broken down.
What if he is into that? He loves to torture his characters so much. I think he's onto something here. He likes to torture his characters so much, he's going to fuck with us all and loves it so much.
He's obviously, he has become fantasy and sci-fi's biggest troll in the history of the world, isn't it?
I saw an interview with him, with Stephen King. First thing out of his mouth is, how the fuck do you write so much books in so little time? Did you see that?
I've seen that interview. Yeah, but I mean, you've got polar opposites, don't you?
Because yeah, yeah.
Stephen King is a bit like Sanderson. That's the thing. They are authors. They understand that that's their job, and therefore they work every day. Like Stephen King gives himself something ridiculous. Like, he would write 2,000 words a day. That's his job. And they may be rubbish, and then maybe later he will edit or not, or whatever. But his job is to sit down and write 2,000 words a day. And probably Sanderson is the same. I'm a writer. What do? I write. So I'm going to write every day, however many words. And some days may be rubbish, some days may be great. Martin is not a writer anymore. He's not. He does other things.
What if he has no idea what he's doing right now? What if there is that, I don't know how to end this thing?
But he knows. But he knows.
But do you ever think about that? Like, what if he doesn't know what to do?
No, he knows. He knows what he's doing. He does. He's hinted at, because I think I've read somewhere people have made comments. He's planted seeds along the way. And, you know, some people have figured out Jon Snow's parenthood and all the stuff. He's got it figured out. Exactly. It's what we were talking about before.
So he doesn't. He's not big into writing or not.
I think he knows, because when he pitched the series originally, he already figured out who the main characters were and who was gonna live through the whole thing and who wasn't going to. He knows what he's doing.
Okay, so you think this is all okay? I don't know. I worry about that. What if he just got writer's block and he can't? He has these characters all, and he doesn't know how to bring them together, and that's what scares me. Is like, what happens if an author all of a sudden just loses his passion, his or her passion to write? And it's your own life, but what happens? Yeah, I mean, we all burn out. Like, what if, like, an author just says, I can't do this anymore? I mean, it's going to suck for us, but I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Well, then I will go back to my earlier point and say, you kind of have a moral debt with your editor who's fronted you the money.
Okay, yeah. The fans
that made you a millionaire, and, you know, have the humility, easily said, to say to someone else, dude, finish it for me. Like, you know, pass the torch.
And then, dude.
Get a ghostwriter, and then just give them the skeleton, give them the one page summary, and get them to fill it in.
That's true. Yeah, get a ghostwriter, and all right, that makes sense. Yeah, just to get this thing going.
If he doesn't care, if all he wants to do is watch his cinema in Santa Fe and discuss the merchandising percentages that he's going to take from selling House of the Dragon, do that and then get a ghostwriter.
Yeah, that's true. He released another, two books or something, right? He released that Duncan and the Egg things and stuff.
Makes my blood boil. Whenever he publishes something that is not
Game of Thrones
is just, oh, man.
I can't, like, when this happens, because it's got to happen. Is when Winds of Winter gets an announcement, the BookTube's going to lose its mind, and that'll be kind of fun to have that countdown. Like, we finally get this, and then we're back at it with A Dream of Spring will be delayed for 17 years or something.
Do you remember? Because I got a very clear vision in my head when the last Harry Potter book came out.
Yeah,
bookstores in the UK were staying open until midnight.
Yeah.
So something similar will happen here.
Definitely. I just read Harry Potter not too long ago for the first time because I wasn't in on the hype train. But I remember, driving in the Barnes & Noble. There's people camping out the night before. And we're like, what do you say? Like, the Harry Potter's, I think it was in 2007, I believe. Harry Potter's seventh book, that book is coming. Is it six or seven? I think it's six. Might be six. Anyway. And people are camped out behind Barnes & Noble waiting for midnight for the book to come out.
Yeah.
That's a book. I never saw that.
No, and queues of people.
Oh, yeah.
But I was recently trying to figure out, like, which are the best-selling fantasy series of all time. And obviously, I think Wheel of Time was there, 80 million books. I cannot imagine there's 80 million people. Anyway, I'm one of them, I suppose. I've got all the books. But Harry Potter, 400 million books.
Jesus. Yeah, that's a phenomenon right there.
At $10 a book.
I don't know if that's a generational thing, but we don't really have that anymore. Like, there's not this series that everybody is reading. Like, everybody read Harry Potter, except for me, of course, because I was one of the losers. But everybody, like, there's not a book series that everybody is like trying to get their hands on.
Not at the moment, no.
I don't know. And I don't know if it'll ever happen again, because I think it is a generate, like, that was like, now we've got so many video games. It's like video games now. Like, everyone's going to play this one video. Back then, it was those books. Like, that, yeah, but that phenomenon.
I don't know. I think Harry Potter tapped into something, in particular, in Britain. So I don't know if the same in the US. But, you know, in Harry Potter, this whole, the school having four houses and the kids competing against, that's a thing in the UK, in school.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the two schools that I worked, the kids were split in houses and they score points by getting good grades, by participating in events, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Each teacher, we belong to a different house. So in my first school, at the end of the school year, the students and the teachers that belonged to the winning house, we had our day off. So the rest of the school was in lessons while we were out in the fields. We were having pizza parties. We had, you know, bouncy castles. We had all the stuff. So Harry Potter took that, obviously put it on testosterone to the max. Yeah. And it sort of made every British school what kids would like them to be, isn't it? And
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Hey, have a good one. I think it was your, is it Brian? I can't remember. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. Brian. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Because yeah, we never had stuff like that. I didn't know that the in UK, that's what they did.
In the two schools that I worked at, that was the case. Yeah,
okay.
And yeah, so he's kind of, I suppose, it's very relatable to what every person in the UK went through, because in the Harry Potter books, they sit down two sets of exams during their life at school, isn't it? Like, and that's mimicking what kids in the UK do. They do one set of exams when they are 16 years old, and they do another one when they are 18 years old prior to. So, yeah. I think it tapped on a nation's psyche. What is surprising is how much what it became after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that never, I'm trying to think. Like, obviously, like they start playing that game, the Quidditch game. I saw a few like of those get popular, running around on broomstick, throwing a ball around kind of thing. I saw that stuff. It was an interesting, everyone was talking about it. And I really did feel left out, because I was reading The Shining. I was reading all the Stephen King books at that time. And like one of my fifth grade teacher, because that's when, I think that was when, like, I don't know, the books were like four or five or something like that. And she brought up my dad in for a parent teacher conference, and like, Ian's reading the Stephen King books at fifth grade. Like, he should be reading like Harry Potter. And I remember my dad's like, I don't care what he's reading as long as he's reading. And so I skipped that thing. And then like, I just got done with Harry Potter. Okay. I'm going to be very controversial here. I loved the first four books in Harry Potter. And then the last ones, they just seemed to go downhill. And the seventh book, like, it wrapped up, but it kind of like,
man. No. I am with you 100%.
Okay.
I've argued with my students many times that even up to the, how many books are there? I've got them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 7 books. Even up to and including book number 6, they just kept getting better and better and better. And they were getting thicker and thicker and thicker. So you were getting even more of it. And it was fantastic. And the last book was a big disappointment for me. It was just not a great ending to the story. But
still recommend it, though. As a series as a whole?
I think the series as a whole is probably one of my easily top 4, maybe top 3, maybe.
Okay.
I think it's truly fantastic.
Okay.
In spite of, for me, that disappointing ending.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of... Did you have them... The famous 5 books back in the... I can't remember when they were, 60s, 70s. Ever heard of them?
What are they called? Harriet the Spy?
The Famous 5.
The Famous 5. I'm not sure what that is.
It was a series of books. I think they were written by a British author, Enid Blyton. And it was these 5 kids, or 4 kids and a dog, who used to solve mysteries. Okay. And they were very popular. And there was a whole series of them. So I think Harry Potter had elements of that, of these kids solving mysteries. Again, what I said about the relatability to being at school and, you know, making your school as it could be. And you know, you finish every Harry Potter book, every chapter, wanting to turn the page and start the next one. Yeah. Still finishing a cliffhanger, and it's a cheap trick, but you want to keep on reading.
Yeah.
And it had elements of that. So I think it just took ideas from different places and blended them exceptionally well.
Are you going to, because there's that, are they, HBO is making a mini, like a TV show of Harry Potter. Are you have any interest in that?
No. I think the films were perfectly good, excellent adaptations of the books. I don't think there's any reinterpreting needed. I don't think there's any changes needed. I think the books and the movies worked really well together.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the movies first, because I watched the movies when I was younger, when they were coming out. I watched the movies, then I read the book, and now I would watch a movie after each book, and it does a very good job of what was written on the page was on screen. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of changes that they had, which made them good, I guess.
Which is what we were talking before again, isn't it? It's just right, Ian. I don't know what time you've got.
Yeah, I've got 1 o'clock.
Well, afternoon.
Yes. It's time for bed for you, huh?
Yeah, well, I've been hiding here for the last 1 hour and 37 minutes and counting while Sarah was washing the kids, feeding them dinner, all that kind of stuff. So now I'm going to sheepishly show my face and say thank you.
Well, we'll have to... We'll have to do this again. Maybe if you decide to do the hello. Yes. Hello, John.
Hi, Jonah. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Haven't read Wheel of Time. So would you recommend Wheel of Time? I would not. Unfortunately, I will not. That is the moral of the story. I think you're good. You're not missing much.
No, she's doing the right thing, in my opinion. She's reading Realm of the Otherlings.
There you go.
That's going to be fantastically enjoyable.
There you go. If you decide to, I probably won't join you for the Malazan. I'm probably not out. But if you decide to do the Brandon Sanderson, the Stormlight Archives, I will come with you on that journey again. If you decide to do that in 2023.
Yeah, I think it was either going to be that or Malazan, and I think possibly, for the sake of sanity, we'll do a Stormlight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, good luck to you if you do the Malazan. I'll watch your videos and I'll listen to your wrap-ups and stuff like that, and I'll get the story that way. I don't have the patience anymore. Like I said, I've started it 3 times and I can't do it. I just can't figure it out. It'll be fun to watch your it'll be fun to watch your brain explode trying to figure it out though.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just want to be very cautious here because, like I said, last year, Wheel of Time was so painful. It really felt like a chore getting through the book.
Yes.
That now I'm just happy to read things that, like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy them beforehand, right? That's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
You don't know that until you've read the book. But it's just I'm safe in the fact that if I don't like it,
yeah,
I mean, it's me being stupid. Like, I don't have to read another 13 books. I can just leave it and move on. But it's just the mindset of me, like, never not finishing a book. I don't know.
I don't like leaving. Like, I hate when I have to leave. When I know I'm not enjoying it, I know, like, I'm going to DNF this. And I hate myself for about a week after. Like, I should have just stuck it out. But life is too short to read books that I don't enjoy. I want to move on. What saddens me is I will die not reading every book that I want to read.
Well,
it's a problem.
But that's true for everyone, isn't it? People like us that enjoy reading so much. I always keep saying to myself, oh, I can read quicker than they can write.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then I discover a new series, I discover a new author, and it's like, oh, and then I start feeling the pressure, and I don't want to feel like that. Sometimes it can be a bit obsessive.
True. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe in 2023, let's pick a short trilogy or something.
We'll do that. And we'll take a
break. I always enjoy coming on here, chatting books. That's why I made this channel. I mean, to chat with people who like books. Nobody in my work that I work with enjoys the book. I mean, yeah. So
now let me tell you, now that we're here, that no one is listening. Because last week,
recorded.
Yeah. Last week I didn't post any videos, right? Because the only idea that I had, and I didn't want to be perceived as negative, but the only idea that I have for a video is to why my channel isn't doing better. Like, why haven't I got more subscribers, right? Like, things that I think, what are the reason for that? And I'm not asking for pity, I'm not asking for sympathy, I was just like musing here. But then, exactly what you said, like, I started this channel because I live in a small town in the eastern coast of Spain. Mm-hmm. And I'm having these conversations with you, I'm having conversations with Jorling and Steve, we're reading First Law. Next weekend, we're going to be talking Farseer Trilogy. And it's like, actually, I don't care. I don't care that I haven't got 20,000 subscribers, because I want to have these conversations. That's why I started. And then that's what makes it worth it. So I'm very grateful. Thank you for popping in and sharing your time on Saturday.
Yeah, no, this is your idea to do the, which I'm blaming now, I guess, like, to do the Wheel of Time. You came to me in October of 2 years ago and said, hey, let's do this together. I'm like, all right, this is great. So I guess I owe you.
you can hold that against me anytime. I take full responsibility for that.
But no, we'll have to do this again. Hopefully not with something in a 14-book series, but maybe, yeah, like I said, a standalone or a trilogy, just to get together one weekend. And that's the thing. Yeah, trying to find these weekends that work, you know, because I work weekends and you're across the world. But to get together and talk with somebody who actually enjoys books as much as I do is great. But yeah, it's not about the subscribers. It's about the subscribers that you have that enjoy talking with you.
It's the interaction. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I could have one subscriber, but if he and I are, you know, chatting, he or she or I are chatting about this constantly, that's what it's worth. This is a social media platform, trying to be social.
That's right.
So
excellent, Ian. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you, everyone that popped in to say
yes. Hi. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we'll come up with something for the future then.
Yes. Again, we tangented, but that's what half the fun is.
Exactly. Yeah, we always do.
Right. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye. Bye. And.